Hey there. This is Brie Bagwell with the Only Vans podcast. And today we have my friends Max and Heather Stalling, who are a staple of our music scene. And these lovebirds are my favorite, you can tell. Heather is an accomplished singer-songwriter, incredible fiddle player, and I love that we had the opportunity for them to play three live songs at our very first hour-long Music Fest podcast taping up in Steamboat, Colorado, in front of a live and rather large audience. Max is a Texas A&M Aggie graduate, but we don't hold that against him because he has multiple amazing records out, and Heather's project Blacktop Gypsy is awesome and also available wherever you get your music. Heather makes me cry a little bit with a lovely impromptu monologue that I will cherish forever. And after joking that I never go to late night jams in Steamboat at Music Fest, I did in fact attend an epic jam this year with Max, Heather, the Braun Brothers, and many more this year. We joke about drinking a lot of wine here, and I outed Paul on a hangover after our marriage story. Sorry. I also talk about the sequestered songwriters, which is something that Courtney Patton and Jason Eadie started over COVID, and really that helped a lot of us get out to a really large audience. And so if you have not checked out the sequestered songwriters videos on Facebook, I think they're all still up there. And I think a lot of people have told me that really got them through COVID. And that was a way for us all to keep in touch with one another and learn some new tunes. Thanks again to Dirt Trail Entertainment for sponsoring our Music Fest episodes. Enjoy. And this is going to sound so bad, but Paul and I were driving through Sedona in a red Corvette on a...
Was it a convertible?
What, yes. You were doing? Oh,
damn right.
You can rent a red Corvette on Turo for pretty cheap for if you want. And I said, oh no, John Dixon's calling me. And so I answered and the service was going in and out and I could only get like things because I thought, oh no, what did I do? I'm in trouble. But he wanted to bring the podcast to Steamboat. So I'm sorry that we had to come all the way to Steamboat to get you on the pod. But
Okay. Hey, been waiting. We've been waiting for 2 years. And
patiently waiting.
Hey, everybody, this is Brie Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van. It's either on or off, baby.
Oh,
we can't turn them off. You're okay. Too hot for that.
All right. Okay. Well, that's fine.
Maybe we could just get you a hat. Do you want this hat?
Oh,
come
I'm
here.
Not gonna, no, no.
It's
I look,
fine.
I'm not a hat girl. Look, you'll see.
Macy?
Watch. Oh, and you have a... Your head's as small as Max's, I think.
Okay. What? That looks really good, right?
It's really good on you.
No.
It smells like sweat.
I'm liking this.
I just know.
Okay. It's really dirty.
It's your hat, babe.
Well, I wear hats to cover up my greasy hair. Am I right? Yeah.
That's why I need to find a hat that looks good on me. I'm going to go buy a Brie Bagwell baseball cap.
You just did. That hat looked great on you.
A band? What?
That hat looked great on you.
Well, but she needs it because she said she has greasy hair.
I always have greasy hair. Well, this is the perfect topic to start with because, by the way, I'm Brie Bagwell. This is my podcast, Only Vans. Thank you guys for coming out. And, the first thing I was talking about with Paul Leeson today was, you know, I started this podcast because we do a lot of podcasts that are, how'd you get started in music and where did you get, which are all great questions, but yeah. We do them 3 or 4 times a week. And so I really wanted to do something a little bit different. And then right after that, Paul goes, well, I'd really actually like to know how Max got started in music. And I was like,
it's a good story,
it's
actually.
It is a good story. But my question, I think, is more important. It's also one of Paul's questions because we like to start this out like first things first. How did you and Paul Leeson both find like short brim cool hats before anybody else filmed short brim cool hats? Like, am I right? Because Max has been doing this for a long time.
Oh yeah.
Has Paul. And now you guys, I think, started a trend. It took you
This is another one of those stories,
you know, Brie,
that we were telling you about earlier.
This is a story that I really don't tell this very often. I tell it in closed circles, but because we love your podcast so much. You want to tell it?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, I wasn't there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So years ago, many, many, many years ago, Heather's ex-husband played guitar for me. And we were playing Luckenbach, and he went over to that used hat store in Luckenbach, Texas, and he came back, and at that time I was just wearing ball caps or nothing, and he said, man, there's a really cool hat over there that you really ought to look into. And so I went over and I bought it and started wearing it, and my siblings ridiculed me mercilessly. And then, I don't know, and then it just kind of stayed around and stayed around and stayed around, and this is like the third iteration of it.
But I do want to state that actually my ex-husband and I both played with mags for a while too, so it wasn't, this is not a case of I don't know.
Well, I feel bad. Both of the things that I brought up were things to do with your ex-husband today. And Max,
that's
is
okay.
Like,
you
I
know
thought
what?
We
that's,
were friends.
That's what makes us
it's
us.
It's okay.
You know?
It's the path.
It's
that
real.
We walked. It's the path that we
yeah.
walked to get here, and
it's a been little
a,
ugly.
It's been a beautiful. Oh, I disagree. I think
it's been a beautiful
I said
short
it's just,
friend
I said
journey.
It's a little ugly, but mostly beautiful. So.
Yeah.
No, I love it, and. Welcome to Only Vans. This is our first taping, not in my van, and live. And I want to thank Dirt Trail Entertainment for sponsoring this. And they have an amazing artist named Casey Johns. She's here. Hey, girl. Casey, like just the letters, caseyjohns.rocks. Check her out. And if you want to chat with her after the show, she has a lot of great stuff on Spotify and a new single coming soon. So thank you for making this possible, because John Dixon called me. And this is going to sound so bad, but Paul and I were driving through Sedona in a red Corvette.
Was it a convertible?
Wait, yes. You're doing
it. Damn right.
You can rent a red Corvette on Turo for pretty cheap if you want. And I said, oh no, John Dixon's calling me. And so I answered, and the service was going in and out, and I could only get like things because I thought, oh no, what did I do? I'm in trouble. But he wanted to bring the podcast to Steamboat, so I'm sorry that we had to come all the way to Steamboat to get you on the pod, but
okay.
Hey, been waiting. We've been waiting for 2 years and
patiently waiting.
This is
well, producer Kyle, that's the Kyle. He does all the work, and so we have to kind of film the podcast when he's off, and we mostly do it in New Braunfels. So,
well, congratulations on its success.
Yeah. Thank you. We got picked up by a big network, and now I'm a podcast host. Who would have thought? And I don't have to sing songs, and I can like drink champagne while I'm doing it. I've been doing music wrong this whole time. Like, this is way less work. I really enjoy it. So can you tell the story of your origin? Can we go back to the... I was going to say.
That part. Yeah.
If it's an interesting story that doesn't involve Heather's ex-husband.
It does not involve my ex-husband.
Other than him being in my band for 5 years, which was, we had fun. I didn't play an instrument until I was in grad school at A&M. And, I had a roommate, and he had a black Takamine guitar. We lived in this old rundown trailer on the outside of College Station. And, He had that black Takamine and an Eagles songbook, and I don't know. It started making sense to me, and I just really dug it. And I learned like two chords out of each song, and I never could. I still can't play a whole Eagles song all the way through. But that was really where the seed kind of got planted. And then I'd always written prose, you know, kind of kept a journal and wrote poems about this, that, or the other. And then when I moved to Dallas for a day job, I was really terribly homesick. And just, I was kind of lost in the big city of Dallas. We're still lost in the big city of Dallas.
We're still lost.
And I was scanning the radio dial, and I was way down on the end, and I ran into a community radio station called 89.3 KNON out of Dallas. And they were playing Guy Clark, and they were playing Townes Van Zandt, and they were playing Steve Earle and Robert Earl Keen and all this stuff that I'd never heard in my life. And it just opened up this door that I didn't even know was there. And then they talked about this one beer joint called the Three Teardrops Tavern. And I went down there one night, and I never left. And I just started hanging out at this beer joint every weekend, and I met Larry Joe Taylor, and I met Tommy Alverson, and I met Mark David Manders, and I met...
You met me.
I met Heather.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. It just became... It was very clear that that was what I was supposed to do.
Yeah, it's so interesting because... Kyle can attest to this, that almost every guest has those same exact influences. Really? And that everyone's kind of like, hey, I can do this, because when you grow up and it's only, you know, CMT Countdown, you love it, but it feels so intangible and like you can't grab it. But when you hear the songwriters that are writing the kinds of songs that they were writing, it's like, this is something that I want to do and want to aspire to
do. I was crazy into music. Like, I had the best stereo I could afford in my car, and I had the biggest cassette collection. Yes, that's how old I am. I had a cassette collection, and I cherished it, and I curated it, and I took care of it. And when my buddies would borrow it and throw their tapes in the floor, it would make me insane. But I listened to all kinds of, like, I didn't listen to a lot of country. I was really into pop and, you know, mostly pop stuff that wound up being like the MTV generation. And then, I don't know, man, this music just, like, wow. It just totally made sense.
And then the artists, like, and that, I mean, they were untouchable, right? Like, literally.
Yeah, they were.
And so, like, you could actually go see Robert Earl Keane, you know, and you can shake his hand.
Yeah, I can
and
go see
just
Guy
normal
Clark
people.
And sit this far away from him and see him.
I think that's why
they're
all of our influences, because we'd actually met them.
It was very, very real.
Yeah.
Is that a compliment?
I don't know.
I don't know how to take that.
Yeah.
Huh, I love that. And I, you know, it's here to talk about where I went to school, but I do get a little jealous quite frequently about how much Texas A&M rallies around their songwriters and their performers. And I mean, don't you think that they really, and I see you going back and playing College Station all the time and all the cool things you get to do.
Yeah.
And I'm really a little bit mad about it, but if you want to talk about it, that's fine. I'll just pout over here.
I don't know. It's that whole Aggie cult thing, you know, which once you're in the cult, man, you're in the cult. And
You were in the other cult.
Well, if in my cult, if you're not Matthew McConaughey, you don't get a whole lot of love. how come? Yes, no. I love it. I didn't pick up a guitar till college either, so that is very fascinating about you.
Right, and I mean, I think it shows in my later guitar playing, you know.
Yeah. me too, same.
I have evolved to still about 3 or 4 chords, you know. I know them real good, though.
Whatever. Do you want to play a song with 3 or 4 chords for us?
Do you want to play a song?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
We can play a song. Let's see. I think this thing's in tune. Flying instruments from the low country up here in the mountains in the cold is always a very interesting experience. What do you think we do the first single that we put out as a duo act?
Oh.
What do you think? Does that sound good?
I'm not going to tune, though. I'm going to chance it.
So, but this one comes with a brief story.
Absolutely not allowed.
Okay.
All right. So that's what we're here for. Please.
No. So for the folks that haven't met us before, Heather has been playing music since she was 3 years old, and she's had her own project for a whole bunch of years. And then I had my own project for a whole bunch of years. And then we decided to kind of conjoin our projects. And so here we are. We've been married for 17 years.
You're stealing like the whole second half of my podcast.
Sorry.
Totally
fine.
Okay.
It is right.
Just play a song, Bree. How about, hey, Kyle. Kyle.
Hey, Kyle, take that
we
out.
We have so much to talk about. You can talk as much as you
okay. Can. And so, at any rate, this was the first single that we put out as the Max and Heather Stalling. Once upon a time in the middle of the summer, on a day with a sky built for blue, we were standing on the banks of a mighty pretty river, and the world turned around for me and you. Velvet sky reminds me of that episode in Arkansas. We were on our backs and talking about life. You described the difference between comets and meteors, and I fell in love again with you that night. And every circle brings me right. You. wheel. In the distance, storms began to brew. The man at the controls brought us down and gave us shelter. The world turned around for me and you. And every circle brings me right back here to you. Now and then again, the world feels different. Doesn't seem to care how we are. I am just content holding you quietly and feel it as we move amongst the stars. And every circle brings me, every circle.
Y'all are sweet.
Y'all are kind. Thank you so much.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Howdy, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell, and I know y'all support the people who support me, so let me tell you about Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Born and raised in Deep Ellum, Texas, Deep Ellum Brewing Company has really made its mark on the beer world. Known for its flagships, Dallas Blonde and Deep Ellum IPA, they put boring beers to shame with a full lineup that's unapologetically not brewed to style. My personal favorite is the Dallas Blonde. It is so easy to drink. I just took it home for the holidays and my whole family was like obsessed with this beer. No joke. They drank it all. Thanks a lot, family. So head over to deepellumbrewing.com to open the beer vault and give your fridge what it deserves. And you'll see why love runs deep for Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Available in Texas and Oklahoma. Side effects may include severe happiness. Deep Ellum Brewing Company products are for individuals 21 and older, and we encourage drinking responsibly. Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you.
Yes. One of my favorite couples in the whole world. I love you guys so much. And
you're our favorite couple.
Oh, you stop and Paul. It. Well, I remember, and I was thinking about this just while you guys were playing that. You were walking ahead of us with Paul, and I turned to Max. Oh, no, I'm going to cry already.
This is fine. No, I don't remember. Where were we?
Well, okay, you and Paul were like drinking, having a great time. And oh. I turned to Max, and I remember I said, I'm so worried that it can't always be this way. And you pointed at Heather, and you said, it can always be this way. Do you remember that?
No.
And yeah. They're aww. Like, we were just fighting in the bathroom 5 minutes before this, but it's fine. No, and another, I remember.
I love y'all. I love you so much, man.
You're the best. Yeah. And Heather and I were talking. Heather, are you still doing Blacktop Gypsy stuff with Andy K most sometimes?
Every now and then, but
I was just such a giant fan of Heather's band Blacktop Gypsy, and we got to play some shows on early on together on in my career, and you were always so kind to me. You were one of the first people to be really nice to me, and I remember one time that we were drinking wine, and we were drinking a lot of wine.
Yeah,
and,
probably.
And
I'm sure it was just
right.
Wine. It was probably some Jaeger shots.
Probably more. But Max walked off in in the middle, and I said, "Oh no, is he mad? Is he mad?" Because I was used to kind of being in trouble for drinking too much. And you were like, "What? No." And I was like, "Max just walked off, and I think he's mad at us." And you were like, "What?" And then Max came back with two more glasses of wine for me and you. And I was like, "These are my people." Yeah. It was. Yeah, he wasn't mad. But it is.
That's a good story. I like that.
I love you guys playing music together because it is so fun. It's the most fun that you can have as a couple.
It really is.
It is. Yeah. I mean.
It is fun playing music together.
But I guess what I was going to say is you said, "I'm not going to tune, I'm just going to be..." Heather has perfect pitch, which means that she can tell what a note is without having to have a tuner.
No,
which,
trust me.
Us commoners, we don't. So what's it like having a musician partner that's just better at music than you in every single way? Like, can we have our own therapy session about this? Because it's not...
Right. It's very...
The pandemic was a little rough on us.
It's challenging.
It is challenging for us mortals, I have to say. Because...
That's right.
Because, yeah. And so, so during the pandemic, when we were doing the Sequestered Songwriters thing, okay, so we were learning a new song every week to do the Monday Sequestered Songwriter. Anybody happen to tune into that thing, which was so fun. Every week we'd pay tribute to an artist. We did it for a whole year, every week. And so we'd have to learn a song
And Max doesn't like to learn other people's songs.
I love to learn them. I like to learn them my way. And Heather,
he wants to rewrite everything.
Heather was in Branson for however many years in a band, and there's several bands that's what you did. That's how they learned the song verbatim, exactly the way you heard it on the radio. And I'm more like, I think it'd be cooler if it went like that, you know?
I'm like, you cannot change the chords to a Guy Clark song, Max.
I didn't
like
change the chords,
he would roll over. No.
This might be the one he meant to use. He just didn't know it.
Okay, that's pretty much... I've heard that one before, too.
Max, I'm on your team here.
I would go take long walks at the park and I come back.
But I have learned so much from this wonderful person. She's taught me so much about music. I mean, I don't know. I think it's a good mix.
I love to hear you say this because you didn't. This is a new. A new beginning here.
What I meant by "I hate you" is I really appreciate everything that you're teaching me.
I appreciate you.
No. Yeah. No.
I understand. I've been recording harmonies in front of Paulison at our home studio, which is like really humbling and terrible. But we haven't broken up. Yeah. So
harmonies is definitely my Achilles heel. That is not something I can do. And I've asked her to teach me, and she'll go, "Sing this note." And I'm like, she's like, "You're unteachable."
I don't have a lot of patience. That's I'm learning, though.
Well, like, I think patience. As artists, we feel like we have to be good at everything. And also, there are people who, like Courtney, who can do all of those things. And so then you feel kind of the pressure to be good at harmonies and songwriting and performing, and you have to be funny and you have to, you know,
very
look cool.
And she's very funny.
She is very funny. Yeah. But you know what, Max? Me and you can play the wrong chords, and we just did a really smart thing by dating people who are better at music than us.
See, that's not true.
Always surround yourself with people that are better.
Me and Paul are the lucky ones. We are hanging on your coattails back here because you both write really beautiful and songs. Like, you know, I know I can't do that, and so there's no place for me.
See, no, stop,
there's no place
stop.
For me without you two. So
but that is bunk.
Just saying.
Because go by, ladies and gentlemen. As soon as you leave here, I want you to get your phones out and go to Spotify and
pull
up Blacktop Gypsy, and I want you to listen to the songs that she wrote. Okay.
I ain't your mama.
No. Did you make that one? Is so deep.
And Carolina,
it's so
come
deep.
On.
It's
that
so
was
deep.
That
so
is
deep.
One of my favorite records
oh
ever.
Oh my God. I love you.
Oh, it was great.
Anyway.
It was
all right. Great. Move on from that.
Anyway. Okay, we're gonna have to take a hard left turn. I got in trouble the other day. My radio promoter texted me and was like, "You were in so much trouble," and he was actually very serious because the rumor had spread that I had gotten married, that I had actually gotten married.
Ooh.
And so I have had Courtney tell this story on the podcast before, so I wonder... Feel free to say no.
But I love this story. This is my favorite.
I've actually never heard anybody tell this story. But we can let the audience decide if Paul and I are actually married or not. Because I don't even know exactly.
I'm not sure
how we got to where we were, but we were in a warm, undisclosed location with a bunch of artists. And somehow
I could tell you, I wanted to go swimming, and I always want to go swimming, and come on, y'all, let's go swimming. Let's go swimming. Let's go swimming. And it's 1 o'clock in the morning. And so they acted like they didn't want to. It was Bree and Paul, Courtney and Jason, of course, Max and I, a couple of friends of ours, the Messengers. You remember?
Yes. Oh, I remember.
The Messengers. And then who else was there?
There was a drummer.
What's his name?
This is great because on the podcast, like, he's going to get to relive this moment for eternity where we don't remember his name.
I feel so bad for him because...
Yeah. No. He's a great
witness.
Dude.
He's a witness.
He's a witness. Really nice. You're probably a great drummer.
But I wanted to go swimming. Basically, I'm just like, let's go swimming, everybody. And so I was so upset. There might have been a little alcohol involved, too. And so Max and I went back to the room, and I said... I guess we're not going swimming. Nobody wants to go swimming. So we're sitting there, and then we hear a big bang on the door, and here they're all, they all followed us.
Outside.
It was like they had all followed us to the room, and I didn't know that. And they're like, are we going swimming or not? And we're like, okay, we don't have swimsuits. Nobody had swimsuits except for Max. I will go ahead and put that out there.
I like to be prepared.
So we get there, and there's a swimming pool where we're staying, where he and I are staying, and Courtney and Jason were staying.
Which we were not supposed to be in, by the way. You know how I know we weren't supposed to be in there?
Well, there was a
sign. We had to climb the fence to get in and out.
Yeah, it said no swimming after 10 o'clock, and this is 1:30 or so by now. But there's... a pretty tall fence.
Oh, it was pretty tall.
Oh, yeah. We were having to climb trash cans and cheerlead.
I'll say this.
We had
to move trash cans and furniture to get in. Yes. And we didn't think about getting out.
That's another thing about musicians. We can be creative.
A swimsuit has never stopped Paul Eason, though. I will tell you that.
Okay, so that's the best part of this story. So we all get over. We get over the fence. And then it's like... it's cold. And then it's a little chilly, too. And so everybody's like, yeah, that water's cold. We put our feet in there. And then the next thing we know, Paul has no clothes on. Like, none. And he jumps in, and we're like, oh, okay.
And guess it's a swimming party.
So that's what happened. I think the rest of us had most of our clothes on.
I had clothes on.
But
I
then for some reason, we're all hanging out, and we're laughing, and now it's warmed up a little bit, and we're like, Paul and Bree need to be married tonight.
Well, there was something about a little frog that floated through, and it landed on your finger.
It landed on my ring finger.
Yeah.
And then we all took
it
that
as
a sign.
It was a sign from, from the wedding gods.
Courtney had no pants on, I will say that.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was, so we're all in this pool, and Courtney and Max co-ordained our wedding with me standing here with a frog on my ring finger. And I think that,
I cried. It was beautiful. It really was.
It was pretty funny.
You know what else made it, I know it was meant to be, is because we were in the middle of a huge row of hotel rooms, both sides, and nobody ever came out. And we were not being quiet.
No
one ever came out.
They
no
were
one
leaving
ever came
us
out.
Alone
nobody
because
threw anything at
for us.
Us
to experience.
I had
this beautiful ceremony.
So much anxiety, though, because we were having the best night and we're having the greatest time. And then I look up and there's like camera.
Yeah.
And we're going to wake up and be on TMZ tomorrow. It's going to be all over TMZ. We're all naked and whatever. And Paul goes, oh, honey, we're not that famous.
No. Wouldn't that be cool, though?
So then we got out of the pool, and that happened. But that will be one of my favorite memories
That was pretty
Me
epic.
Too.
That was a lot of fun.
And then the next day, we got to the airport, and poor Paul Eason was having he was having quite the hangover. So we can't decide if everyone is mostly naked, if it's a real wedding or not. Or if that, like, negates
well,
it.
Well, and then if you're married by two people that are ordained.
So
it's like, do two...
cancel each other out?
Yeah, do they cancel each other out? Or does that
married.
Mean you're double married?
You're double married.
And, like,
oh, no.
We're going to have to call the law. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
If we get divorced, they're going to have to divide up all of our 17 cents that we make as two musicians. So it's
you got to be careful about cameras. We have a Matt Hillier story that we probably shouldn't tell.
No,
this, but remind me to tell you later about
can
this.
Can you tell it? Well, on my list was to talk about because I had Matt Hillier on my podcast. And Matt Hillier told me about the most hilarious Max Stalling prank. And I told him, I said, Matt, I don't feel like Max is a prankster kind of person. But apparently when it comes to Matt, you are...
Matt's easy pickings, I'll just say.
Oh, no.
So you're talking about the turtle box.
Yeah.
From last year. That's a good story.
I know. I don't know whether I should retell it.
This is a new story. You can retell that one real fast, but then we have a new one that's pretty.
Yeah.
Genius.
Well, basically, if you played in the, was it this room last year? You played the Jimmy Buffett tribute. Turtle Box was so kind. They gave us all free turtle boxes. And it was so nice. And so we were all excited. And so Matt said he started seeing on social media, like, I posted mine. They got my turtle box. Thank you so much. And everyone's posting them. Matt still hasn't gotten his. And Henny's kind of feeling a little bummed and left out. And so he got a turtle box
Wait. I have to inject a time.
Please do.
Because I talk to Matt a lot. We talk almost every day by phone. And if not, go to lunch or whatever. And he's just whining about this turtle box thing. And he just won't
well, because
be
his fiddle player took one with him. Because like, on the plane.
You
he's like, I'm getting my
you,
turtle box
or you could
now.
Have him ship it to you. And so, but I mean, Matt was just so pitiful about this.
Yeah.
Just, golly, everybody's got their turtle box. I got my turtle box. I was like, oh, so we get ours. And I'm like, well, we got ours. And he's just like, oh, man. Because Matt is like, oh, it's just the world is against me, you know? Yeah. And so I couldn't resist.
Well, you're like, do you want me to call the turtle box people and find out if maybe they, you know?
Yeah, because I had gotten the phone
number
from the guy.
He was so sweet, but then
so anyway, I just took our turtle box out of the box and then sealed it back up and put Matt's address on there and mailed it to him. And so he runs out. I can see it in my mind's eye. He runs out like this little boy at Christmas to see. He sees. I know he's sitting there waiting because I think set it up where he got a notification that something was being delivered to his house. And he runs out like a little boy at Christmas. And there's his turtle box. And he's so overjoyed. And then he picks it up and it's empty. He takes it inside and he opens it up. The only thing that I wish I had done different is Matt also has a real aversion to mayonnaise. I wish I had put a gallon jar of mayonnaise in there. That would have been the ultimate. At any rate, it was really fun.
With mayonnaise?
White or creamy, he's... that's his...
Whew. That was a soft pitch if ever I saw one.
No
okay.
Mashed potatoes, no mayonnaise, no.
Okay. There's a new Matt Hillier story, apparently. You know how famous you and Matt are? The girls texted me and we're like, on the podcast today, ask Max and Matt what they bought at the grocery store today. Like, everyone knows that you guys went to the grocery store today. You guys are like a famous couple.
Oh,
but
cute.
Do you have a new Matt Hillier prank?
We didn't go today.
Okay, this is great. You have to tell them what happened the other day.
We didn't go to the grocery store today.
We played.
Me and Matt Hillier?
Yeah.
No?
Okay.
Unless he went with somebody
else. Edit that part out. It was way less funny than it was supposed to be.
If Matt went to the grocery store with somebody besides me, I'm going to be upset.
No, we flew on the plane together, though, and that's enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt is such a sweetheart and such a good soul. I shouldn't torture him like that.
But you're not going to tell this other story or not? No? Let Matt tell you.
I'll let Matt tell you that story. If he wants to tell you that story, he'll tell you the story.
Is it that bad?
Ask him about his pay at one of his recent gigs.
I kind of feel like he should tell the story, right? Okay, don't.
Yeah, go ahead.
Should we call Matt Hillier live on the podcast and be like, can we?
We should.
I don't have my cell phone out. Call him right now. Also, is Max Stalling ever mad? I've never seen him mad. That was one of my questions I had to ask you. I've never seen him mad in his whole life.
You know what? Very seldom.
What's it like?
He's been mad at me a couple times, and it's awful. Like, it's like having God mad at you. It's like, it's the most horrible, horrible. Yeah. But no, I mean,
you must have really deserved it, though.
So I did. But no, it wasn't that bad, you know, but no, he doesn't get mad that much.
I just picture him being like so nice and
he's like,
awesome.
Darn it. Dang them. No. He cusses as much as I do.
That's not true.
That is bullshit.
No, no. I don't know what life you were in the Navy in. Hey, Matt. Oh, no, it's just
He's made a voicemail. Leave it. Give me that phone in case he calls back. Okay. I'm going to hold it right here because this is important. I'm going to leave it on loud,
too. I can cuss.
You're okay at it.
TT, doo-doo, heck.
Wrestling's
Darn.
Rhapsody. I get it.
Do you want to play another song?
Sure. And also, do you want us to?
No, I really do.
Are you tired
want
of
to.
Us talking?
No, absolutely not. But we have to have an exit strategy in case Matt Hillier calls and I have to answer it in the middle of your song.
Stop. That's okay.
Okay.
We'll just stop playing. Okay. We'll just stop. That's fine.
Pause for the cause.
Right.
Oh, we laughed so hard. My podcast with Matt Hillier, if you have not listened to it, that is probably one of the funniest people I've ever.
He's a funny man.
He's so hilarious. And he's doing the Elvis tribute tomorrow. 4:55 if you guys are going to be there.
No, we can't be here.
I'm going to be in it because Matt Hillier said, you would kill this song. I already picked it for you.
You are.
I said, I'll have to see if I'm free. He said, I checked your schedule. You're free. so I will be there, whether I want to be or not. Okay. What are we playing?
Go ahead.
Yeah. What?
We're going to do the second single from the Max and Heather Stalling catalog. So it's a two-song catalog at this point.
And it's a cover song.
Yeah. But it's from this...
now I'm going to
the first one. The first one, if you notice, was a song called Circle. And so all these songs we've been recording for this project are either overtly mentioned the word circle or they have roundish references. Pretty exciting, huh?
Speaking of roundish references,
kind of painted ourselves in a.
I'm gonna tune too, honey. Just because.
Yeah, well, I'm out.
Sorry, it is not your job to get me alcohol as my boyfriend. However,
just wait till your husband. Well, it does make
since
your husband,
you're my double husband, how about you go
double
give me a
husband?
Drink.
That's right really now. Cool. Yeah. Max is my double husband too because we it's got true. Married in Mexico, mm-hmm. and turns out that's not legal.
What?
In the
no,
US,
it's not.
And it's not binding.
So we have two anniversaries. Yeah. Did you know that? Yeah.
No, but
so
that's
we,
really yeah. smart. You get double gifts.
It's cool, and neither one of us can remember when the second one is. So we just pretty much celebrate from November to January something.
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So we're in the midst of it.
Yeah. So happy anniversary to
happy
us.
Anniversary to you. Yeah. I'm going to drink
to you
in
too.
Your honor.
To you too. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
So this is, we chose this, we did this song actually for the first time I played this song up here at the Robert Earl Keen tribute. Was anybody here the year they played tribute to Robert Earl?
Yeah.
And it just kind of started, the more I played it, the more I was like, this really fits this project that we're doing. And so, so we're doing, this is a Robert Earl Keen song. And, so I hope you like it. I hope you recognize it. I hope you recognize it. One, two, three.
You don't
two.
Have to count me in.
Sorry. That was such a Pauline move. If you didn't catch that.
I did it just for you, Brian.
Kyle, we're going to have to zoom in. Can you make a note? Zoom in on her going,
can we,
you don't
can
have
we
to count me in.
Cut that on the podcast. I'm going to look like an asshole.
No. That's going to be the part I play over and over and over.
You don't have to count me in.
It just makes me laugh because you already knew. You just did it because you wanted me to say that.
No, because I'm finally learning how to count a song in after I've been in
highly
the music
choreographed,
business.
Y'all.
He was counting to four before that. Yeah,
I have been in the music business, making a living in the music business for a long time, and I'm really terrible at counting in songs. And so I've been really working on it, and so I'm very excited to count the song in. But you don't need to.
I think you should do it in the mic and louder than ever. Like let's really give it a go.
Well, now I'm just going to
sorry.
Nope, not going to count it in. First of the month brings back the notion of a big round white dance hall in a cool summer night. Red cherub faces and black shoes in motion to the pom-pom rhythm of a German delight. And I tried hard to tell you I was no kind of dancer, taking my hand to prove I was wrong. You guided me gently, though I thought tart little bald man like a German war hero. Bucks some old matrons to a quick John Paul Jones. Drapes of crepe paper and a ball made of mirror. Got shiny reflections on a brass light trombone. And I try hard to tell you I was no kind of dancer. Taking my hand to prove I was wrong. He guided me gently, though I thought I could never. Dancing together at the end of the song. Still dancing with his phantom partner, though the band had quit playing at the evening's end. Made me feel lucky that I had a partner to teach me the dance steps and come back again. And I tried hard to tell you I was no kind of dancer. Taking my hand to prove I was wrong. He guided me gently, though I thought I could never. At the end of the song, and I tried hard to tell you, taking my hand to prove I was wrong. You guided me gently, though I thought I could never. We were dancing together at the end of the song.
I broke your phone during
that. Was okay. I was trying so hard not to even look at you because I knew I was just gonna not be able
to
focus.
Break your iPhone.
I broke your iPhone. Not to tell you, I broke your iPhone.
I would like to real quick. I would like to. I don't know if y'all know Bree or not, or if you've ever really had a chance to talk to her, but she is one of the most beautiful people that I have ever known, like inside and out. Yeah, because I have to. I don't think you get enough credit. First of all,
thank you.
It is really hard to be a female singer in this business, and she is classy. She doesn't feel like she's got to show everybody every part of her body or whatever it is. She's a classy girl. And so, yeah, you're a class act, and I love you, and I'm so proud of you. Like, you're
nice. And this is where I cry.
No, don't. Like, I think that's if I had a daughter, and I don't, I have a son, but I don't know. You're somebody that I look up to, and I think that all girls should look up to, because you do what you do. And you're good at it, and you want to be known for that, and I think it's beautiful.
Oh my God! Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, I'll give it up for Bree Bagwell over here.
That's so nice. I'm gonna need you to put that on a repeat loop for me, and that's gonna be my alarm clock every morning when it goes off. That's so nice.
It's the truth. We talk about that a bunch,
really?
Actually. So yeah.
Thank you. Well, yeah.
I respect you. That's it's respect.
Well, I appreciate it, and you've been nice to me my whole career, and I will never forget that since day one.
I
love you guys so much, and we threatened to double date all the time. We've been threatening to double date for a decade.
We're gonna be roommates.
Yeah. I told your wife the duplex next to us has recently become available.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And in New Braunfels, and you guys could be our neighbor.
We're looking to get in the market.
And your wife said, "You think we all have an alcohol problem now?" Imagine.
Could you imagine
what that would be like? It would be the most fun.
Party central.
Well, come down to New Braunfels. We'd love to have you.
I mean, we kind of double dated that one time when we were driving down the road in the golf cart. We had the golf cart.
Oh my God.
And we were easing along. I see this, we're just kind of tootling along doing our thing. It's pretty late at night. And I see.
They were piggybacking.
Two people, and there's a guy riding piggyback on a woman's shoulders. And so we pull over, and who is it? It's Bree carrying Paul down the street.
I forgot about
that. And it was
that.
One of the coolest. And so we're like, "Hey, what are y'all doing?" And we had a couple of beers with us. And so they hopped in the back of the golf cart, and then
I forgot about that.
We just tootled around.
That was a fun night.
We just tootled around the rest of the night. It was fun.
That's very funny. That was not on my list. I forgot that. But Paul, we would be hiking and he would say, my knee hurts really bad. And my knee hurts. And I'm like, oh, you're just getting old. And I'm like, whatever. Turns out he goes to the doctor. He has a broken leg. He has a broken femur.
Oh, Paul. No.
And we had just found out that he had a broken femur. So his legs started hurting. So I was like, get on. And I was like, taking him for a piggyback ride. And we got busted by Max.
I didn't know that part of the story. Yeah. Poor Paul.
I know.
We won't make fun of him anymore.
But I was definitely carrying him down the street on my back.
Ever since, I've been asking Heather, hey, give me the Paul Eason.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's around here. That's crazy. Yeah, we do talk about, could you imagine could you imagine dating again?
Like, dating again?
Yeah.
Like, no. Could you?
No.
No.
But like,
no.
Isn't it weird to think about like my friends that are here that are single and they're like dating and I'm like, well, how do you even date in this climate? So now
it's frightening.
I guess my point is I'm so thankful I'm double married. I don't ever have to date again. Like even and if we get,
I know,
we break
double,
up once.
We're double married too. Okay. So
right, you have to break up twice.
We have to break up twice. Thank God. How many years have you been at Music Fest? Because I was just seeing
it's
this
unclear.
Little plaque over there and I, a couple years ago, I looked up and John Dixon was at my show with Eric Raines, and I was like, why is John Dixon? Hey, what's up? And then he came up on stage with me and he said, thank you so much. It was my 10-year Music Fest anniversary. Oh, you know, he kind of surprised me with that or whatever.
Yeah, cool.
And then I was like, I've been here for 10 years, and that was a few years ago. So,
isn't it crazy? Are you looking around though? And I mean, I think this is such a good thing too. But like. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many artists now that I'm like, who is that? I don't even, and they look like children. Like, did we ever look like children? I don't ever remember that. But yeah, and I think it's a great thing, but I'm starting to feel my age.
Oh,
you?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who's cool
Yeah, we've
anymore.
Been here 10, 15. I don't even know how many years to answer your question.
Yeah,
but.
It's got to be crowding 15. It's got to be.
Interesting. Well, yeah, do you have old. Any favorite, I was going to say Steamboat and or Braun stories to tell us because I think that they are synonymous, aren't they?
Oh, man. So many Steamboat stories. I think you should tell the Elk Stew story.
No, I have not my favorite. Like when my band played here, Blacktop Gypsy was here. It was actually supposed to be Andy Kay and I. John just said, hey, will you do just a duo thing, not bring the band. But for some reason, my band said, well, we're going to come anyway. And but you don't have to pay us, and then we'll just stay in your one room, one bed condo that you have. And I said, cool. And everybody but the bass player came. And my sister was in the band that time, and we love each other. But at that time, it was a love-hate relationship. Anyway,
there were five of us
in a really small room with a king bed, and the drummer and the guitar player got elk soup poisoning, and they threw up all night. It was
they didn't just throw up. Yeah,
I went and watched Joe Ely, and I came back, and it was like a murder scene. Anyway, that's not my favorite memory, but that is a memory, and that's when I think about Steamboat. I can laugh about that now, but that was my.
Well, yeah. You had me because you said my band said we'll just come for free, and I was like, my band's here. I was like, did you hear that? And then you got to the part of and then we'll stay in your room. I was like, oh, never mind. That's one.
Well, but they didn't even play with us. Like they came for they did they just wanted to ski and do their thing and have a place to stay. They didn't even. Play with us. And,
they just threw up all over your room. Sounds anyway. Delightful.
Yeah. So that was fun.
The first year Heather and I came up here together, I think I don't guess up. And we had done a cruise on the front end of it. Right. And so we get back from the cruise in Galveston and we had left some luggage at my brother's house to switch to mountain gear. But we neither one of us had ever been up here. I didn't know what to expect.
Which was tennis shoes.
And so, yeah, we get up here and we caught a shuttle.
Sweater.
We flew to Denver and caught the shuttle up here. And she's wearing just like some regular old Chuck
Taylors.
Remember
that Dumb and Dumber, the Dumb and Dumber movie where they're riding on the back and he's got like ice skulls hanging out of like that was us.
We didn't know what we were getting into. And so,
Dumb and Dumber.
We nearly froze to death on our first trip up here. Yeah, for sure. And then subsequently, I have brought the band. I've come we've come together as a duo. We've flown straight to Hayden, which, by the way, is the way to go. We've worked our way up here as a band in a van and trailer, like done Red River and then come on up. And man, I tell you, there's been a couple of times where I wasn't sure we were physically going to make it up here.
Yeah.
And it's you need
I've
to know
lost
what
two
you're
transmissions
doing.
And an engine. Okay. And like maybe a few years off of my life on that drive-in last year was pretty scary. But
oh, you did it last year.
Yeah.
Is that when the pass was shut down, or was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, we barely made it past when it got shut down. But some of my favorite memories are, we were about to leave 1 year, and Jody Bartula from Cody Johnson Band called and said, "Don't leave, the pass is closed." And so I said, "Okay, well, whatever." So I went to the bar. Well, there's all Randy Rogers Band and all Mickey the Motor Cars. Like, and we had the best day, and someone gave us their suite. They were leaving for, and they said, "Oh, we're flying out on our private plane. You can have our suite." And I remember walking into that room with like Mickey and all Randy's band, and there was just like alcohol all everywhere. It was a dream come true. It was just kind of like, and that's when I was like, I think I've made it. Like,
maybe that'll happen to us this year, because I mean, it's supposed to be pretty bad.
It's Paul Eason's birthday on Saturday. I hope we get
Happy birthday. We'll do a little something special.
Well, this is crazy. Time always flies, but does anyone have, like, we're going to take one audience question, as long as it's not vulgar or you're not, you haven't been drinking.
Oh, those are the best kind.
Or maybe, hey, Tom Shepard.
Coley.
Do you have another favorite steamboat? Did we even hear your favorite steamboat story?
I mean, there's so many great trips up here. I mean, the first time I brought the band up here, we pulled into town and we had gotten over Rabbit Ears Pass, and we were just, it was literally like, we got out of Denver, we're coming up here in the van and trailer, and my tour manager's like, "I'm not doing this." We got, you know, through the tunnel and then like at Kremmerling or Silverthorne or where, no, at Silverthorne where you turn off, he's like, "Man, I can't." So I take over and I'm like, "I've never driven up here. I don't know what I'm doing." Yeah. And so man, it was so terrifying. So terrifying. But we get here and we get to town and it's dark already. And we pull up to the first stoplight. And I mean, literally, it's like, "We're going to live, guys. We're all going to live." I mean, we're patting each other on the back and we're high-fiving. And we pull up to the first stoplight and we stop. And then the light turns green and I push the gas and the tires just go. We're not going anywhere. It won't move because we're on straight ice or whatever. And this tow truck pulls right up behind us and pulls around and he backs up to us. I was like, "You are my savior." I thought he was just going to give us a quick, you know, he was just going to do us a solid. He goes, "Yeah, for $100. And so like took $100, towed us through the intersection and that was it. And then he unhooked it and off we go. And anyway, it was just, wow. Yeah. So prepare yourselves when you come up here. Y'all already know all this stuff, but it was such a fun.
That's your favorite memory?
Well, the favorite memories are jams.
Last year, and I wish you would have been there, Bree, but, and it was, you know, some of the best jams are when they're not planned. It just happens. Yeah. And we were in our room just minding our own business. And and we had a ton of alcohol left because we tend to do that. We overbuy.
What's your room number?
Oh, I'll tell you later. But we're like, hey, you know, so Jason and Courtney came over. Matt Hillier, of course, came over. And then before we knew it, Mike, I call him Mike Moonpie. I'm going to have to call him something else now. But Mike Harmeyer. He came over. Who else was there? Wade Bowen ended up coming over. And we just laughed and sang until 4 or 5 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And we felt like shit for a week, but it was it was maybe one of the best, just because it was just, I don't know, unplanned, you know, some of
unscripted, unplanned, unchoreographed, just real natural,
uninvited. No, I'm just kidding.
We're gonna make this happen, but we're gonna not plan it.
I'm joking. I always say how like
you work too hard.
I know. We're always so busy. And then so last year, Cody and Katie texted me every single night and invited me to all the jams. And I was like, can't go. But I love being invited. But I lose my voice too easy. I hate that about myself. But I'm maybe,
this,
you know,
year.
What?
This is happening. The year. It's the year.
And then you know what? Wade Marie Bowen texted me today and asked me to come sing a verse on a song, on the songbook. Did you get that
there,
too?
Yes.
But I'm like, it's gonna be the last song of the last thing. Yeah.
How special is that?
Well, usually my last note of my last show, that's when I go to Ragetown. And one of my favorite stories is I was here and having usually by the last day, that's when I'm ready to party. Everyone's all partied out and everyone's sick and tired.
No, not us.
And I came to the artist lounge and by myself and I was like, ready to party. And all my band was tired and sick and in bed. And there was nobody here except the security guard. And I said, do you like whiskey? And he was like, yep. So I sat at the bar with the security guard and him and I got drunk. So
nice.
If you guys are here Friday night and ready to party, like I'm your huckleberry.
I'm going to find you, Brie Bagwell.
Okay, good. Okay. Good. Right. Okay, we're going to take one audience question.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone have one audience question? Is that no? They're like,
I guess we told all our secrets.
We already were too forthcoming, I suppose.
Yeah. I love it. Well, we'll get out of here with one more song. I love You're Alive at the Granada record. What a great record. Selfishly, I wanted to know who all played on that, but now I'm not going to ask because that'll be the third time I bring up Heather's ex-husband.
No, that one I can tell you.
Okay.
The Live at the Granada record?
Yeah.
Yeah, so my rhythm section, which has been with me for 20 years, Jeff Howe and Jason Steinsaltz, and then Bryce Clark was playing guitar. He had just
He's here. I saw him yesterday.
Oh, he
you
is?
Did?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'll have to hug his neck. One of the greatest guitar players in the whole wide world. And then Heather's in the band that night, and we had Brandon Lusk playing trumpet, and then we had Joey Carter on keys. And I think that was the extent of the band. It was the Max Starling Large Band, not to be confused with Lyle Lovett's Large Band.
Well, one of the nicest people in the whole world, one of my favorite songwriters, and Heather, an unbelievable talent and songwriter and human being. So make sure if you have not diven into, what's the past tense of dive?
Doven.
Are you sure?
No, it's not doven.
I said divin, which is definitely wrong. Into the Max Starling.
Checked it out.
And now y'all's stuff together is just fantastic.
You're
and
sweet.
You're playing a lot of stuff together, and you will never look at another water trough the same in your whole life if you're a true fan. And get us out with a song. Thank you so much again to Dirt Trail Entertainment for sponsoring our live filmings. And Casey Johns, where does she go? Is she back there still? Anyway, she's an incredible artist, and you can scan and go listen to her music on that postcard that came in your... Welcome
so
back.
We're playing another song. Is that what you're
doing? I think we should go out with a song.
Oh, recorded song. Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
A live one. If you want.
Live song.
Unless, is that okay?
Do we have time?
We have a
song. That's it. We have time for that. And then the more you play, the less I have to talk and say dumb things. So I think. No, thank you guys for coming. We're doing this again tomorrow at 3 as well. So, and the next day and the next day after that. So
Thank you,
Brie. You guys for listening. Big round of applause for my best friends and my new neighbors, Max and Heather Starling.
Brie Bagwell, everybody. Okay, you gave us a nice little segue into this tune. This is a story song about a cowboy who does something really foolish on a hot day, and this is called the Pila song, and we play it most nights, and I like playing it because I get to do my little singing boy bit and then get out of the way and let y'all see what an amazingly talented person I'm married to.
And hot.
No
we didn't
pressure.
Even talk about how hot she was.
No, whatever.
Because
it is self-evident.
Okay. Ready?
All right, this is a happy little number. You're going to love this. Do I need to count this one in?
Yes.
You don't need to count me in.
One, two, Well, the wind was hot and the sun was hard, and I was beaten, my mare was tired, and the fence line I was riding stretched forever. My mind drifted off and back to Carmella, and her heart of black, and the things that she'd said to me yesterday. So when the boss sent me out checking fences, I was glad, 'cause I knew that it meant I could spend some time out all alone. Well, I wiped the sweat that stung my eyes, looked up, realized I was coming up on the south windmill, and the concrete tank stood there beside the water trough that it supplied when the trough was full. The mill would keep on pumping, 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 pumping. So we drank deep from the shallow trough, and wetting my hair gave me the thought that a swim in that big tank might cool me down. My duds and hung them on the fence. Climbed the wires to reach the rim. Pulled myself on up and I jumped right in. And the water was cool down underneath, but deeper than I thought it'd be. There was no ladder and the walls were slick with moss. Well, sure enough, I got cooled down. When I found I had no way out, the thought of a rat and a feed bin chilled my blood. First I laughed at the fix I was in, then my troubles all sank in. Without some help, I was there to stay. And I screamed and clawed to no avail, to my dignity and voice it failed. Wore my fingers down on those damn walls. And I marked the time with the windmill shade, passing across my mossy grave. And the cows coming to water twice today. Snake, a foreign fight would do me in, and not some Mexican road. The fact is I was hot and dumb, struck stupid by the sun and love. So on the one hand, I guess she played her part. Through all that time, I cussed her lots, but I cussed myself the most because I had not looked before I'd left. Now overhead an eagle soars, and I smell rain coming from the north. I wonder if she'll leave and shed one tear. Oh, just one tear.
Chords, Max. I'm proud of you. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you at 3 p.m. tomorrow. Max and Heather Stalling. Thank you, y'all. Thank you, Kyle.
Ray Bagwell.